I want to read a verse of scripture from 2 Chronicles chapter 14 verse 11. Of course, it deals with an Old Testament reformation. We thank God today at this time of year, particularly for the Protestant Reformation of 502 years ago. The glorious Reformation, as we sometimes refer to it. What was the Reformation? It was a return to Scripture. It was a return to Christ. So therefore we ought to be thankful for it. But let's read this text from 2 Chronicles chapter 14 verse 11 about King Asa. And Asa cried unto the Lord his God and said, Lord, it is nothing with thee to help, whether with many or with them that have no power. Help us, O Lord our God, for we rest on thee, and in thy name we go against this multitude. Sound familiar? That last line, that last statement of Asa, we rest on thee, and in thy name we go. We have just sung it. We have just sung those words. So this hymn that we've just been singing, this hymn is based on 2 Chronicles 14 verse 11, the prayer of King Asa. You know, that hymn has a very interesting story behind it. In January 1956, five missionaries sang it before entering the jungles of eastern Ecuador to bring the gospel to the Aucca Indians. We all know Jim Elliot, we've heard of him. The other missionaries, they're not as famous, but they're just as important to the Lord. Nate Saint, Ed McCulley, Roger Yoderian, Peter Fleming. Five missionaries to the Aucca Indians. This is the hymn they sang just prior to going, meeting those tribesmen for the first time ever to tell them of Jesus, the mighty to save. Of course, we know what happened to the five missionaries. Whenever they reached the Aucas, the Indians murdered them on the Curare River. But that's not the end of the story. It's a happy ending to the story because years later, contact was made with the Aucas and many came to Christ, including the very men who had killed the five missionaries. And so that hymn is a very interesting story. The gospel, of course, that was brought to the Aucca Indians of Ecuador is the same gospel that Martin Luther stood for 502 years ago. Hasn't changed. It's the gospel that by God's grace we seek to preach from this pulpit, and in the days to come we will continue to seek to preach it. And we want to think today about the Old Testament reformer, King Asa. God willing, tonight we're going to think about Asa's son, Jehoshaphat, another reformer, another man who stood up for the Lord in his day and generation. God grant that we in our day and generation will stand up for him as well. But what about King Asa, this great Old Testament reformer? Oh, we better pray before we say anything about him. Let's just take a moment to pray. We come, Lord, again before you in prayer because we depend on you so much. We dare not, Lord, let our tongues just ramble on unless you're in control of them. And so, Lord, without you, we confess that these tongues are a world of iniquity. My tongue, Lord, is full of deadly poison. It's an unruly evil. It's an instrument an instrument that will bring no blessing, an instrument of failure, we could say, Lord. But we pray that this tongue today will be an instrument of blessing, a channel of blessing. We pray, Lord, that every person in this church today will be inspired as they listen to your word and have listened to your word and listen to the message that is proclaimed today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. King Asa was a trophy of grace, a trophy of grace. Don't we often use that phrase to describe people who have been saved? out of great sin. Well, why do we call King Asa a trophy of grace today? Why do we call this king of Judah a trophy of grace? Well, it's because of what we're told in verse 3 about his father. If you look there at 1 Kings 15, verse 3, "And he walked in all the sins of his father which he had done before him, and his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God as the heart of David his father." Now, this verse is not describing Asa, but it's describing Asa's father. Asa had a father who was godless. He wasn't a Christian. He hated the Lord. He was an idolater. And yet the Lord reaches Asa and saves him and brings him to a knowledge of the truth and makes him a trophy of grace. What about his mother, Asa's mother? Verse 13, "His mother made an idol in a grove." He didn't have parents that were any help to him growing up, did he? Oh, here's a reformer, an Old Testament reformer. Here's one of the godly kings of Judah, and people would think, oh, he must have had wonderful Christian parents. Not a bit of it. He had very evil parents, but yet the Lord made him a trophy of grace. God Almighty reached into that home and saved by his wonderful grace, by his amazing grace, this King Asa. He was a trophy of grace. In spite of the fact that his father was a sinful man and his mother was a heathen woman, he yet shines forth as one of Judah's most godly kings. Folks, there are some lessons, a couple of lessons that come to us immediately from this fact of Asa's family background. First of all, those of us who do have Christian parents, we ought to be on our knees before the Lord thanking him for them. My parents are here today, and I am so thankful to God for them. And I want to put it on public record from this pulpit today just how thankful I am for the upbringing that they gave to me, for the Christian influence that they were upon me in my formative years. I tell you, folks, I wouldn't be standing in this pulpit today if it wasn't for my father and for my mother down there. And every one of us today who were blessed, who have been blessed with a Christian home, we ought to be praising God endlessly for that wonderful gift. It's a tremendous gift, something that is to be cherished, the gift of a Christian father and a Christian mother. Asa didn't have that blessing, and yet the Lord reached him. And isn't it wonderful to this very day that the Lord still reaches into families, and daddy and mummy has no time for the gospel. Father and mother have no interest in Christ crucified, but yet the Lord reaches by his Spirit into that home, and he delivers the children, and he saves the children, and he makes them trophies of grace. It still happens. It happened in Asa's day. It still happens today. God grant it'll continue to happen in our village in the days to come. Of course, there's a second lesson today that comes to us from this fact, is that even though your children perhaps today are out on the mountains wild and bare, far away from the Lord is able to reach them. I want to tell you, folks, that whenever I was young, I'm afraid I was no saint. There was no halo above my head. My father and mother are down there, and they could tell you many a story, and I'm sure I caused them many a heartache and many a heartbreak growing up. But the Holy Spirit went after me and brought me to Christ. Do you know why? Because of their prayers. Because on a Saturday night when I was in the club, living it up as I thought, enjoying life to the full, they were at home thinking of me, worrying about me and praying for me. And of course I arrived in, 2 o'clock on a Sunday morning or whatever it was. Parents who had been praying for me, God answered prayer. He moves in a mysterious way. He answers the cry of broken-hearted fathers and broken-hearted mothers over wayward children. And so here we have King Asa, And he's a trophy of grace. God can make your children trophies of grace. Father, mother, today, do not despair. Don't get discouraged. Our God is still the same. I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Malachi chapter 3 and verse 6. Asa, the reformer, he was a trophy of grace. I want to say as well, he was an example in prayer. An example in prayer. 2 Chronicles chapter 14, we've read it already today, verse 11. And Asa cried unto the Lord his God and said, Lord, it is nothing with thee to help, whether with many or with them that have no power. Help us, O Lord our God, for we rest on thee, and in thy name we go against this multitude. O Lord our God, O Lord, thou art our God, let not man prevail against thee. An example in prayer. Asa teaches us that we as Christians have a duty to pray. Asa teaches us that whenever a crisis comes that we're to pray, but then we're also to pray the rest of the time. Not just when the crisis comes, not just when we're in a tight corner. No, prayer is to mark our Christian lives. You know, going to a prayer meeting is not abnormal for a Christian. Sad to say, in today's world and in a lot of churches, it seems to be abnormal for the average Christian to go to a prayer meeting. It's unusual for them. It's only the faithful few who will be found in the place of prayer. But you see, if Asa was here today, he would say, you need to be in the prayer meeting. And folks, we certainly do need to be in prayer meetings. Tonight's prayer meeting. Tonight's meeting is the last prayer meeting before the deadline tomorrow night. Do you believe in the sanctity of the unborn? Do you believe in real marriage? Certainly those of us who are married and those of us who have children, we ought to be able to say amen to those two questions. And we ought to be in the prayer meeting. If we're not, Asa then will put us to shame. We'll have a red face on the judgment day as we look over and look at King Asa, the example in prayer. So I trust that there'll be new people in the prayer meeting tonight. I hope with all my heart that there'll be extra people in the prayer meeting tonight. Always an example in prayer. Of course, we've already said that his prayer is the basis of the great hymn we have just been singing. We rest on thee, and in thy name we go against this multitude. There was a multitude coming against King Asa and the people of Judah. It was the Ethiopians. They were outnumbered 2-1. But yet God gave the victory because his people prayed unto him. And if we in 2019 pray to him, and I know that many of you have been praying and even fasting and praying. And remember, folks, fasting doesn't just mean going without food. It can mean going without Facebook or whatever. Sacrificing something to spend time in prayer. But God does answer the prayers of those who are prepared to sacrifice, to spend time before him. For some of you, it might be a sacrifice to be in the prayer meeting this evening at 6:30. But just all depends how much you love the unborn and how much you love biblical marriage. And I know you love the unborn and biblical marriage. It goes without saying, doesn't it? I mean, biblical marriage is a symbol of the relationship, the union between Christ and his church. An example in prayer. May the Lord pour the spirit of grace and supplications upon us in these days. So King Asa, the Old Testament reformer, he was a trophy of grace. And he's an example in prayer. He was a leader with backbone. Let me say that, a leader with backbone. He deported the wicked. This leader with backbone deported the wicked. Look at verse 12. He took away the Sodomites out of the land. We could say that Asa wasn't in favor of same-sex marriage. Oh, he definitely wouldn't have agreed with it. He definitely wouldn't have agreed with the change in legislation that's about to take place in our little province. No, he took away the Sodomites out of the land. The word Sodomites there, of course, it doesn't just refer to homosexual people who mind their own business and live their lives quietly. No, the word Sodomites here refers to homosexual activists, LGBT activists, gay rights activists. Organizations like Stonewall today, this is the 50th anniversary of the Stonewall Uprising. You do know the anthem of the gay rights movement, of course, it's 2, 4, 6, 8, smash the family, smash the state. That was chanted whenever the gay rights movement first came about. That was their chant. They used to parade and sing that anthem. Some things never change. He took away the Sodomites. He wasn't afraid to be unpopular. Asa, the reformer, he went against the flow. And we in our day and generation, we need to go against the flow also. Sodomites, of course, hate the gospel. They hate the truth. That's why they poured paint over the Reformation wall on the 15th of July. Maybe you didn't hear about that. 15th of July this year, tourists noticed the paint was on the Reformation wall in Switzerland, the wall of the reformers. Green, blue, yellow, red paint. Colours of the rainbow. The LGBT movement in Geneva had taken it upon themselves to vandalise the Reformation wall. I wonder, had they read 1 Kings 15? Had they read about this Old Testament reformer who put the Sodomites out of the land? He deported them. He didn't mollycoddle them. Asa didn't get down on his knees and grovel to them. He didn't lick their boots. He didn't behave in the way that our leaders behave today. No, he deported them. He took them out of the land. So he not only deported the wicked, but let me say this. There's another evidence here that he was a leader with backbone. He deposed a woman. He not only deported the wicked, he deposed a woman. The next verse, verse 13. And also Maacah, his mother, even her he removed from being queen because she had made an idol in a grove. And Asa destroyed her idol and burnt it by the brook Kidron. This was an astonishing act for an Oriental, to depose his own mother from being queen. But as far as Asa was concerned, the Lord was more important to him than his mother. Jesus was number one in his life. The gospel of this reformer was number one in his life. And he, rather than offending God, he was prepared to offend his own mother. He wanted to be on the Lord's side rather than on his mother's side. He wasn't afraid of offending anyone, least of all his own mother. And so he deposes her because of her idolatry. Asa removed the idols from Judah. Of course, there are idols in our lives, aren't there? Things that we love more than Christ, things that are more important to us than Christ. Folks, today, by God's grace, we've got to determine to remove them. The dearest idol I have known, whate'er that idol be, help me to tear it from thy throne and worship only thee. Can't do it ourselves. There are strongholds in our lives as believers that we can't pull down, but Christ, our blessed risen Redeemer, is able to pull them down by his Spirit. And I pray that in my life the strongholds, the idols, will be brought down, and in your life too. And then we can be leaders with backbone. Oh, Asa, the reformer, he was certainly a leader with backbone. May God give us backbone today. Let me finish off, folks. This man, this Old Testament reformer, King Asa, he was a trophy of grace. He was an example in prayer. He was a leader with backbone. But let me say finally, he was a signpost to Christ. A signpost to Christ. It's very interesting, whenever you read the first chapter of Matthew, you read of Asa. You see, King Asa was in he was in the family tree of the Lord Jesus. He's part of the genealogy of our Savior. Matthew chapter 1, verses 7 and 8. But not only was he in the genealogy of Christ, but his name points us to the Savior as well. The name Asa means physician. Physician. We would say doctor. You know, that's one of the beautiful titles of the Lord Jesus, physician. In fact, in Luke chapter 4, verse 23, just after he preached the sermon in the synagogue at Nazareth, he called himself physician. Physician. The doctor. In Mark chapter 2, verse 17, our Savior said Mark 2:17, Jesus, when Jesus heard it, he saith unto them, they that are whole have no need of the physician, but they that are sick. He's the physician of souls. Have you come into the church today and you in your heart of hearts right now would admit, I am sick with sin? I have the perfect cure for you, the perfect remedy for you, the Lord Jesus. He's the physician of souls. Yes, he heals bodies. Of course he does. And are we not constantly praying, both on a Sunday and in the Thursday prayer meeting? We're constantly praying that he would heal bodies. But folks, I want to tell you, more important than the healing of our bodies is the healing of our souls. What good is it to have a body that is healed by the Lord if your soul is still sick with sin and you end up in hell? But the good news of the gospel is that Jesus is the physician of souls. Oh, he's the doctor. He's the GP, as it were, we can go to for the healing of our souls. Child of God, do you feel that you're sick, spiritually sick? Go to the physician today. Go to the Lord Jesus today. Don't come to me, for I need him. I need the physician of souls. I need Christ as much as you do. I need his grace and his mercy as much as you do. Please don't come to me. Now, if you have a question, come to me. I'll try to answer it. But don't come to me and think that somehow I have virtue that I can give to you, because I don't. I'm empty. Go to the great physician. Great physician now is near, the sympathizing Jesus. Don't we sing it? He stoops the drooping heart to cheer. Oh, hear the voice of Jesus. If you're sick with sin today, child of God, you go to the physician. Go to Dr. Jesus. Of course, if you're not a Christian today, you're not sick, you're dead. You're dead in trespasses and in sins. But I want to tell you today that this physician of souls, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, he's also the one who can raise souls from the dead and give you spiritual life. Another great hymn we want to sing as we finish. One of the verses says, "My great physician heals the sick, the lost he came to save. For me his precious blood he shed, for me his life he gave." It's hymn number 347, and we'll have the first and last verses as we close our meeting today. Let's stand.